Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's go to 1 Peter 5. As soon as it passes you by, somebody's dinging. Is it me? My phone? They're getting texts. Praise the Lord. I also wanted to say this. Last Wednesday, I was teaching on some things, and I wanted to apologize for the way I said some things. What I said was right. I've done this so many times with my own kids. I've said, now what I told you was right, the way I said it was wrong, because I got frustrated. And I wasn't necessarily frustrated. It just didn't come across the way as I thought about it, as I prayed about it. The Lord said, what you said was right. I gave you the words, but the way you said it was wrong. And I'm going to say something to you that's going to totally shock you. I am not perfect. Now, just relax. I know that's shocking. And most of you can hardly believe it. But it's the truth, okay? So I am going to, as a pastor and as a minister, I have to preach what the Word says. I mean, I get to. I want to. And there are things in the Word that are counter to the culture. But the way we deliver those things, or I deliver those things, is just as important as what I say. Wouldn't you say? Okay, and that doesn't mean we're soft and weak. It just means that we need to have meekness and humility and function and speak it the way the Lord would have us. So if I miss it, you can just pray for me. Say, Lord, deal with him. And he does. Trust me, he does. So, all right, so we're talking about break free. This is our fourth message here on this. And we're talking about basically living a life free of worry. 1 Peter 5, 6 is our golden text. It says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, or the proper time. And then it says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Listen to the Amplified. It says this, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. How many know that's contrary to the culture, to lower yourself? Okay? I like, you know, and I'm a little hesitant on this, but I like sports. I like, you know, different things that are competitive and stuff like that. And a lot of times you'll have these professional athletes and different ones that'll write books that are motivational type books, and they'll talk about how they had to go through all these struggles and everything and how they overcame. And there's a good principle there. There's a principle there that is a level of faith. But oftentimes what you find in those type of people is no real determination being focused on giving glory to God. Now, it's not always the case, but many times it is. If your faith fight and your overcoming is just all about you and what you've accomplished and how much money you have and how successful you are and how many cars you have and how fancy your watch is and how, do you understand what I'm saying? If you got four different houses and four different places and I don't care about any of that stuff, but where in our determination, in our faith, we need to have focus on the Lord, not on ourselves. There is no true increase or multiplication in a person's life if God is not first. It doesn't happen. Now, you can function inside of principles that are biblical and they're established in the earth, but it doesn't mean that God's in it. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that the Lord is the one that is leading in that situation. Because see, God will get immense amounts of glory out of a person's life that they're fully submitted to him. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich, but he adds no, he doesn't add any sorrow to it. If all the stuff that you have and you're still sad, if all the success, supposedly success you have, and you're still depressed, then God's not in the middle of it. You got to have God first, and he has to be in the middle of it. Amen? And out of that will come the blessing of the Lord in proper perspective and balance. And that's what we want. So he says this in verse 7. He says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all over on him. Isn't that a good word? Once and for all over on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you what? Watchfully. Psalms chapter 55, verse number 22. I believe this is where Peter probably got it, but it says, cast all your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. How many of you know that cares and worries can be weighty? You know, and people think, don't just think in terms of, because I know you've all experienced this because you're here on the earth, but weightiness, have you ever had a weight in your mind? It's just like the thing won't go away and it begins to affect your emotion. It begins to affect the way you process. Have you ever worried about something so much or heard something that had so much fear in it or worry in it? It's almost like you couldn't form words to explain what it was. That's the enemy trying to bring worry and fear into your life. And we're to cast, and that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 55, 22, cast the burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved or made to slip, fall, or fail. Is that true? Yes, it is. Amen? He will never allow it. So, what does it mean in 1 Peter 5, 7? Let's just break this down. Casting means to throw upon or cast upon. It means to throw or to place upon. To cast upon, it is used with the idea of casting a garment upon, like a horse or something you're going to... How many have ridden horses before? And you got to put that saddle blanket on there first. You pick that saddle blanket and you throw it on the horse. That's what you're supposed to do with your worries with the Lord. He'll bear your burden if you'll give it to him. What a lot of people do is go, look at this burden. Look at the size of it. Look how it's shaped. Look at how, and you're dragging it around instead of casting it. And people will come to church and go, look at the burden. And it says on it, property of Jesus, and you've stolen it, and you need to give it back. Okay? But if I don't worry about it, yeah, if you don't worry about it, you'll relax. But nothing's going to happen. No, that's a lack of faith. See, it takes faith to cast your burden. Right? Who's going to solve it? Oh, Jesus. He's the burden bearer, not you. I heard, I was listening to Brother Hagin on, he was teaching along these lines, and he talked about this lady that came to him and after a service, and she was crying and wanted prayer, and she came up to him and said, he said, well, what do you need prayer for? She said, I have all these cares and worries that I'm have to carry, and I just want the Lord to take half of them. If he takes half of them, does 1 Peter 5, 7 say, pray that the Lord will take your cares? What does it say? Whose responsibility is that? He'll do his if you do yours. You got to cast it. You got to throw it over on him. And you got to leave it there. Does that make sense? So she said, if he'll just take 50% of them, I can handle the other 50%. You know what the truth of the matter is? You cannot. And Brother Hagin opened first to 1 Peter 5, 7, and he showed her the scripture. He said, sister, you don't have to carry any of them. He'll take all of them. And she looked at him, and she went, oh, you're hard. You're hard. And he said, what do you mean I'm hard? And she said, I can't do that. That's too difficult. You're a hard preacher. He's quoting the Bible to her. But did you know if you allow your flesh to rule you, you'll think the same way? The Bible will offend you. How many have ever had the Bible offend you? Oh, man. If you haven't, you're not reading it much. Because it eats my lunch weekly. I'm looking at it going, oh, man. No, I got to cast all my care over on him. And you know, one thing that's helped me is just go ahead. And when the enemy brings something to you or brings a thought to you, you need to resist that and then speak the word. What will happen though is, and people don't realize this because they're used to thinking a certain way, is they're used to thinking a natural or a carnal way. If you've worried for many years or had that tendency or were trained by a champion worrier above you in a generation or two, you know what I mean? World champion worriers, you know what I mean? They got titles in it. They worry about everything, you know? Everything. Well, I have to worry about the kids. If you do, you're hurting them. Good preaching. You're hurting your kids by worrying. Our oldest just got her driver's license. She drove by herself yesterday. Now, we have concern. Some people think that living carefree is not caring about anything. That's not what he's saying. Of course we care. We just don't get over into worry and fear. Does that make sense? We just don't get over into worry and fear. We have concern about things, so I just make her drive my truck. It's got a lot of steel on it. At least for now, right? I'm not worried. And honestly, Heidi made a statement or said something to me, and I contend to my temperament, if I don't live in balance like I should, is to just kind of not, I don't know if it's a guy thing or if it's just the way I am, but I'll just forget about it, to be honest with you. Because Heidi goes, isn't it weird that our daughter driving out there by herself or whatever? And I went, oh yeah, she is, isn't she? You know, I'm just like, you know, gone on in my mind to something else. It's the beauty of being a man. I just shut that door and walk away. Like when Leanne was here and she was talking about her husband not listening to her, and she looked at me and Heidi and goes, we need counseling, Pastor. And I'm sitting there thinking, you don't want it from me because I got that same problem. I just send them to somebody else. We're to cast it all on him. That word all actually means every. It means the whole. It means as many as. So as many worries come up, you cast them. Amen? There's a word in here to describe all, and the word is declension. How many have ever heard that word before? I'm sure John has. Declension is the word. And what it means is a collection of things sharing a common attribute. You're supposed to throw over on the Lord the collection of things that all have the common attribute of what? Worry. Amen. You give it to the Lord, you leave it there, and you don't pick it up again. Come on, think about it now. The enemy comes to you. Yeah, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take out your kids. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You're not going to live out half your days on the earth. And you could just look at him and say, and when these thoughts come, you'd say, well, I'll be in heaven. I heard one preacher say, you're not going to scare me with heaven, devil. See, but we need to have this mentality. Because it's biblical. You say, what is that doing then? That is pulling the weapon, the ability of the enemy in worry and fear out of his words. Amen. And then you can function like you're supposed to. You don't have to live in anxiety. You can live anxiety free. Care has to do with worry. It has to do with distraction. And then we talked about last week, we talked about that one of the most significant things that can take place in choking out the word is worry. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. It says this. Jesus said this. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? So he's talking about the parable of the sower and the different soils and the different grounds. And sowing the seed in this is the word of God. He said, how then shall you understand all parables? In other words, all parables tie into the parable of the sower. The sower sows what? The word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. In other words, they just didn't pay much attention to it. They heard the word of God preached or taught, but it just wasn't a big enough deal to them to spend some time and really focus on what was being said. I mean, you know, there are people that just don't understand the value and cherish the value of the written word of God. They just don't. And they treat it half-hearted. And what happens in that? Their hard ground, their wayside ground. What does that mean? That means the enemy comes in and just scoops it up. He doesn't even really got to fight for it. He just pulls it straight off the top and walks away. If the word is being pulled straight off the top of your heart and it doesn't settle into the ground, there is no chance you're having a harvest. Amen. These, verse 16, likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. How many know there are a lot of people that will receive the word with gladness? But then verse 17 takes place because they have stony ground. What is stony ground? They have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when what? Tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately what? Stumble. What is stones in your ground? Persecution, tribulation. If you allow those things to live in your ground, then you will affect the rootedness, the ability of the indestructible word of God to develop root in you as a believer. It will uproot you. You will stumble if you allow persecution to move you instead of the word. You'll fall away. Does that make sense? You'll allow the word. The word won't produce in that area. Then in verse 18, it says, now these are ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, verse 19, and the what? Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hey guys, if I could tell you the times people have come to me and they don't study the word like they should. They don't spend time with the Lord like they should. They don't attend church like they should. They don't have fellowship with people of like faith like they should. But yet they know they're born again, and they struggle like you would not believe in their Christian walk. And they don't see the connection. They take more time in chasing money and desires for other things. That is a broad statement right there. Desires for other things. How many of, and people will do this. I've heard it through the years. The Lord gives me the desires of my heart. Yet here we see that the desires for other things can choke the word of God out. So which desire are you following? You know, I've heard people make this kind of rash statement. They make the statement, they say, well, I can have anything in the name of Jesus. No, it has to be in the name of Jesus. If it's not provided in the covenant, you can't have it in the name of Jesus. You can go get it in your own name, but don't try and get God to bless it, because he won't. It has to be his will, his way, his... Come on, how many know God is God? He's not looking for extras. He's not putting out application forms. Wanted someone else to sit in the fourth seat of the Godhead. We have an opening. No, he's God. And so we got to watch that. But what do we see here in the first part of verse 19? The cares of the world will choke out the word. This word cares has to do with anxiety. It has to do with dividing out or having anxious care. The word choke literally means to strangle completely, to drown. Wow. To crowd out, to throng. The thought is crowding something or someone to suffocation. So in other words, this person is sowing the word. They're in church. They're a part of what God's doing. They're feeding and fellowshipping with the Lord in the word of God and in the spirit of God. They have their own private prayer closet. They have the word and the seed going into them. And apparently, they don't have a lot of stones in their ground either. But they allow worries to sit in the same field next to the word of God. And that seed of that worry, as everything's being watered, will produce a harvest. And what is the harvest? The harvest of worry and fear is like how many have ever seen an entangling weed? I used to get these at our other house. We had these bushes that were around the house that we planted, and this vine would grow up. It would just show up. And it would just go around everything on that plant. How many have ever seen that before? Have you ever seen that? And that vine sits on top of, like I had a bush like about this big, and it'd sit on top of it, and I could grab a handful of that vine and pull, and I can feel it trying to hang on. And I'd pull it out like that, and then I could open up and just have a handful of it, throw it on the ground next to me, and I could open up the bush, and you look down in there, and it's still snaked all inside there. That's what worry does to the word of God. It chokes that word. Is it stronger than the word? No. It's not stronger than God's word. It's what you're giving your influence to that gives. See, how many notice this? The word is the seed, but who's the ground? You decide what your ground is like. I decide what my ground is like. I decide the type of soil that I am. Everything that is in here, we have the ability to yield to, submit to, or resist. We can resist the word of God and submit to worry, or we can resist worry and submit to the word of God. Amen? How many know it's easier not to plant the worry and allow it to grow than it is to dig it all out and make sure it stays gone? Now, I've done this through the years, and I really believe that this is a picture of spiritual growth. You say, what do you mean by that, a picture of spiritual growth? What I mean is that these different grounds represent everybody, but through the years, you pick rocks, you pull weeds, you plant the seed of the Word of God, and you just stay after it until you have 30, and then you have 60, and then you have of any of the promises of God. All of them. As believers, we are supposed to have 100-fold of the promises working in our, all of them working. Does that make sense? People say, oh, that's a lot of work. I know, get after it. We get to sit around for. You only got so many draws on the earth of oxygen. And he's given you that, but you can't let worry in. So let's look at an example of this. Go to Mark 4, or you're there already. But go down to verse 35, and we'll look at an example of how the word got stolen, okay? We'll actually look at two of them here. See, that word can get choked. You got to watch it. It's a strangling thing, worry is, and you need to resist it in the name of Jesus. You know, how many have felt fear try and sit on you for a whole day about something? I'm the only one. Oh, good, there's a few. And every time that comes, you got to resist it. No, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, that means, I mean, I did it for a day and a half and nothing changed. That's because you stopped. What you're telling me is that worry is greater than God. Is that true? Okay. Right? See, we yield to things we shouldn't. And it's because we're natural. It's because we yield to the natural and what we see and what we feel. What we see and feel. People don't realize this, and it's true, and God understands where we're at. So it's not like God's in heaven going, I can't believe they're feeling as humans. No, he's been touched with the feeling of our... He's been tempted in every way such as we have, right? And yet without sin. In other words, he feels us and he knows where we're at. He's just saying, come on, don't give in. You know, you could have resisted worry in a certain area for a day and a half, and if you'd have gone a day and three quarter, it'd have been gone. Come on. That's where that faith comes in, that consistency and standing firm. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35 says this. It says, on that same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So this is Jesus telling them to get into the boat, and then he makes a statement. What did Jesus say? Let us cross over to the other side. The word of the Lord was, let us cross over to the other side. This is where faith was available. When these words were spoken, God's words not only need to be heard, but they need to be held. Did you hear me? God's words not only need to be heard, but they need to be held. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. In due season, come on, due season is usually longer or further out than what you want, but it's still due season. In due season, you will what? You'll reap. So what did Jesus do? He spoke a word. What was the word? Let us go to the... Now, verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, so it's like a whole boat crew. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling. Verse 38, but when he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Huh. There's a word there that we've used already. What is it? Care. Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and he said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now go back up to verse 37. I want to read this again. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. This is the enemy's attempt to choke the word of God. What did Jesus say? Get into the boat, go to the... Did Jesus say, get into the boat, go to the other side, but halfway through we're going to have a storm and we're all going to drown and die and I don't care about any of you and you're all going to... People say, well, God caused the storm. So Jesus rebuked God then. Come on. If you're going to present an argument, think it through. I know that was none of you. It was probably somebody online. We bless you. Verse 38. See, this is a great illustration. The enemy is working through this storm to stop what the Lord commanded. Do you see that? This is a great illustration of how spiritual things affect natural things. What did the enemy use and what did Jesus rebuke? Did the effect of a spiritual influence happen on the wind and waves? Yes. Was there an effect from the spirit within Jesus on the wind and the waves? Now, how do you know what the spiritual effect was on the wind and the waves? We can see it in the apostles because it went from the wind and the waves to them. You say, how do you know that? Read verse 38. But he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Why? Because he already gave the command. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In other words, the words came out of them because they were full of care. What did the care come from? It came from the attempt of the enemy in the circumstance to kill them. There is a fear of death that is taking place right now, and it is overwhelming their senses to the point that they have now received and brought into them the reality that if Jesus doesn't do something now, we're all going to die. And so out of that, they turned around and accused Jesus of not caring for them. Up until this point, have the disciples experienced anything with Jesus other than care? I'm talking about nurturing concern, giving life and life more abundantly. How many have ever noticed this when something goes wrong in your life? The tendency is all these words come to you about, God, why? Why? Why, God? Why? Why? Oh, I'm the only one. Oh, praise the Lord. I must be hyper spiritual or something like that. In other words, what? The enemy is attempting to work. The question is not, why God? The question is not, God, do you care? That is not, the enemy is working through the circumstance, and now he's working in your mind through confusion. God, in the middle of the storm, you need to stand up and go, God, you didn't say we were going to die in a storm. You said, go to the other side. So I speak to the wind and the waves. Make sense? Okay? This is spiritual warfare 101. I know we're a little over, but you'll be all right. Circumstances bring with them care or worry. They will also bring an accusative tone of evil, directing you to blame the Lord. The enemy works in fear and worry. With this comes a sense that the Lord is your problem and that you should approach him with an accusative tone. There should be no question in our minds whether Jesus cares for us or not. Jesus shows the greatest amount of care anyone can on the cross. The storm was the enemy's attempt to derail the faith that was received at the word of the Lord in verse 35 and 36. Jesus did not say, let's go to the other side, but halfway through I'm going to drown you all in a storm because I don't care about you. I pulled all that right out of the scripture, that whole statement. The Holy Spirit just went bing, and I went, oh yeah, there it is right there. Jesus didn't say that. He is not Jehovah's schizophrenia. Stop it. That's not who he is. So then we see that Jesus stood up and said what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great what? Calm. And then in verse 40, watch this now. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? There's a lot right there that I don't have time to go into. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? I can tell you why. Because you rejected or let go of or allowed to be choked out the word, let's go to the other side. And in the storm and the circumstance and what's being in front of you, you allowed those words to fill in where the word of God should have been. So the word of the Lord, which we saw at the beginning, not only has to be heard, it has to be held. Why? Because something is going to come into your life that will challenge that promise. It's the devil, and he's on the loose. He roams around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Somebody needs to say, he may not devour me. Right? Why? Now, I love that, and I'm going to end with this right here. I'll close my Bibles, okay? So you know. I know you guys love the word. I didn't close my tablet, though. Teasing. Okay, I'll stop. I got to get to the point here. Focus, Sean. So, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I am not against this preaching on this passage. Jesus did calm the storm, and people love that part. But I want to ask you a question. What did Jesus emphasize? Let's look at verse 40 again here. Jesus said to them, why are you so? How is it that you have? Did Jesus emphasize his ability to stop the storm? He did not. He emphasized that they should have stopped the storm. Do you see that? Come on. I'm not against that. Like, I've preached the passage about, in fact, I did it a while back at a church. I preached the passage about whatever has your focus, has your faith, talking about Peter and how Peter sunk and all that stuff. And every time I teach that, somebody will come up to me, undoubtedly, and say, isn't it great how Jesus pulled up Peter out of the water? Yes, that is great. But is that what Jesus emphasized? No. He did not. He emphasized what? Peter, why did you doubt? So which part is important to Jesus? See, the question, we all know Jesus' character. He's trying to get us to come up to a level in faith that he's already prepared and established for us. Do you see that? He wants, it's not that it's wrong to say Jesus calmed the storm, or that he grabbed Peter and thank God he grabbed Peter and pulled him up. I haven't been pulled up before. But that's not the emphasis is, Sean, where's your faith? Oh, yeah. Okay, so if I go through this again, I know what I need to do. Focus on Jesus. And he won't have to pull me up out of the water. Come on. I can become an extension of him and pull somebody else up out of. Because we're taking over the planet. Did you know that? I'm serious. We are. We're taking over the entire universe. I'm talking about Christians. Nobody else. The Christians. We want as many people in this total domination of the universe that we're going to experience. It's going to be a total galactical, all galaxies taking over. Life and life more abundantly forever. You know, you think it's just a movie. No, I'm this for real. I'm doing the whole deal. We're going to rule everything. Cities, nations, under the King of Kings. I know other people, they think aliens are coming. It's us. We're it. We already here. They don't even know it. They're looking out there. We're already here among them. It is on. Wherever the sole of my foot treads, and that includes out beyond the Milky Way. Mm-hmm. Come on, he didn't create all that space for nothing. You think you like flying a jet? Just wait till we get out of here. Who needs a jet when we're going to meet him in the air? In other words, I don't know how I got off on that. But in other words, don't worry about it. relax. Today, when you get done, just take a nap. Shut your brain down. I mean, people are like, I don't want to take a nap. Well, then don't. But just relax. Rest. Don't worry. What about the money? What about this? What about, huh? Thank you, Lord. Watch the sun go down. Just sit on your porch or wherever. If you don't have a porch, you know, people are like, I live in an apartment. There's a parking lot everywhere. Grab a lawn chair, drive somewhere, sit in a park. Just relax. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The Lord will give you revelation. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Praise the Lord. How many got something? Amen. Praise the Lord. We seriously are. We're going to take over the world. I know that there's a one world government. No, da 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 da. I don't. They can take. I mean, the enemy could have that. I don't care. It's going to be a one, all galaxies, universe controlled theocracy. There'll be no voting. Well, I want a democracy. Well, you're in the wrong one. It's going to be a theocracy. I'm excited about it. And the Lord told me, now this is serious, that this area here on earth and what we're doing now determines to a degree what we get to do there. Now I'm excited about it. I want to be, you know, I want to serve in the kingdom all, I mean, forever. It's going to be good, amen? Let's close our eyes. Just say this after me. Say, Lord, forgive me for worrying. I receive cleansing by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, just wash me. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I purpose not to worry. I submit to peace and I resist worry. Because you supply all my need according to your riches and your glory. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is seated in us. We will watch over it. We will protect it. Lord, we will meditate it. Lord, we purpose to go higher and higher in you and our relationship with you and obedience to you. We will be doers of your word and not hearers only. So when things arise, when storms arise, when things come against us and try and cause us or bring us into the place of living in worry, we will resist that in the name of Jesus and speak your word. We control our minds, Lord. Our minds are our minds. We have spirits of power, love, and a sound mind. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Don't forget about Wednesday night. If you need prayer or ministry for anything, please come. We will pray with you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.